Hi, friends. Welcome to the Wisdom with Walter podcast. I'm Claire, student and friend of renowned meditation teacher Walter Bellin. In these conversations, Walter and I talk about the most effective path to healing I have found, which is the combination of effortless meditation and Walter's inner growth practices. Let's get started. Walter, great to see you again as always. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
In the last few episodes, we've talked about effortless meditation, but this is a really important episode for people listening. Effortless meditation is just part of what you've created over the last 60 years. The way I see it, effortless meditation is a vital tool, but the main body of work is a collection of frameworks and processes that we call inner growth work.
That's it.
In your words, what are inner growth practices?
So when you meditate, one of the things that happens when you're meditating is you begin to release stored subconscious memories and energy from uncomfortable experiences in the past, going way back to childhood, but including your adult years. As you release that, you need to have a channel that will allow that releasing to be full, smooth, complete, so that it's really done. It's really over. And all the things that are self-limiting in the way that we think, in the way that we respond to things emotionally, and in our self-limiting behavioral habits, all of these things are based on that stuff stored in our subconscious mind. The inner growth work that I began surreptitiously, actually, when I was working for the TM organization, because what I realized is that people had been meditating for years, and they would go onto these long retreats where they'd be meditating many hours a day, and they would come out feeling terrible. All the people that ran those programs for TM were told simply to tell them, go to your room and unstress. People were left without any support to help them through this stuff. Without telling anybody, I would start coaching some of these people, but only after they promised they'd never tell anyone, because if anyone found out in the TM organization, I'd be fired. I'd be thrown out of the organization. And at the time, I valued that very much. I had to base it on just asking the kind of questions that seemed to me to make sense when I saw a person going through a certain type of experience. And I would often ask them things about their childhood or their adolescence and what they experienced at that time. And suddenly people would make connections about what they were going through now while they were releasing suddenly things that puzzled them through their whole life that they'd never been able to understand. It just suddenly made sense. And that made it enormously easy for me to help them release the rest of that stuff and get it out of them because they had some understanding of what was going on. So in 1975, I resigned from the TM organization because it was too rigid and narrow, and I just knew something major had to be added to it. My wife and I worked for another Indian teacher for 4 years, first building an organization for him in Britain and then in the US, several thousand people that we did that with. And then he asked us to come to Australia. And when we got here, we knew this is the time now for us to take responsibility for our own teaching. The second one that I had allowed me to do coaching. I really gained a lot of knowledge about how to coach people over that 4 years that I was with him. So when we arrived in Australia, I wanted to add to effortless meditation, not just coaching, but very structured tools that would help people resolve these unresolved emotional issues that were creating the self-limiting patterns in their life. And my wife created a number of her own, but I created the foundational courses that we used in the program. She created several of the advanced courses, but she relied heavily on using other people's work. But I wanted to do something that felt organically right, that came out of the actual needs that I saw in front of me. So I started putting together personal growth courses that we would run on weekends, usually a Thursday night and a Friday night, and then all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And I invented a whole series of guided processes that I used to use with music that were all designed to help people resolve these unresolved issues in their life. Like one of the processes was, how do you deal with emotions like anger or sadness or fear? Or things like that. And it was a guided process with music, where the music would suggest anger, like I used to use Holst, the planets, Mars, the bringer of war, that sound to bring up the anger and so forth. And there would be processes that would be regressionists to bring back people to earlier in life when some of these experiences happened. And what happened is these things started working just magically well compared to when people were just meditating alone. Now, part of the reason why I wanted to do this as well is I had a chance to go away and do a lot of long meditations when I was a TM teacher, because we were encouraged to do that. And that allowed me to get a lot of the deep stuff out of me because of the long meditations. But I knew most people would never be able to do that. So I wanted them to be able to do these things while living a normal householder life, you know, with responsibilities and jobs and children and all that kind of stuff. So it took off where we started in 1980 with myself, my wife, and a half-time helper. And literally by 1984, we had about 50 employees, about six trainers, and about 40 administrative support staff. We had centers set up all over. So 45,000 people went through our courses just in the 1980s alone. And that gave me a chance over those years to really deepen and refine all the processes we were using. Plus, we brought in body work and we brought in breath work, what we call connected breathing. Those were from the outside. And Robert Meredith brought in the body work, and they were great additions. So they comprised probably about 15% of what we did. But that didn't really come in until around 1982, something like that. We had no objection to bringing things in from the outside, but mostly it was based on my real sense of what people needed at a given time and how that could most efficiently and effectively be met. Because already back in the 80s, we had psychologists that were sending people to our courses left and right, because they said when they came on our courses, they started making incredible improvements in therapy. And most of them were just doing talk therapy. Ours was hardly just talk therapy. It was pretty intense stuff. And they would suddenly really start making progress. So this is the important thing. I wanted this to grow organically, not out of some field. I always thought there's a danger when you say, this is the field of psychology, so let's derive techniques from this field. And I thought, no, I want to use an empirical approach where we look at what happens when you take people into these courses. What do they need and what's the most effective way of getting those needs met? And that was a more organic process. So it doesn't come out of any specific field of psychology, although in the broadest sense, you could say it comes out of transpersonal psychology, but no particular version of that. So that's how it evolved over time. And eventually, of course, we used it in corporations as well, although we had to use a more highly structured approach when we were working in a corporate setting, doing leadership training programs and cultural change programs and so forth.
I can attest to how transformative and effective the processes are. I've done 15 years of one-on-one talk therapy. There were still so many things that I thought I understood about myself, but did not understand. I was still in challenging behavioral patterns. And so I was really frustrated when I first came to you, because I felt like I was doing everything. I had done all the things. I had was like exercising and doing other forms of meditation and done ayahuasca and talk therapy and had really spent a lot of money and time and energy trying to create a more peaceful inner world for myself, but had not achieved it. Due to your work, I don't think I've come to any sort of pinnacle, and I don't know that I ever will, but I've made massive shifts in my inner world due to being able to understand myself. To recap what you just said, Walter used his intuition about what people needed to process during meditations to create frameworks that create a body of work that we call inner growth.
Yeah.
And like he said, they didn't come from any specific field. It was just about what works and witnessing that and testing it and tweaking it over 40 years or so.
You captured it very nicely in your summary. To me, the most important thing is always the outcome for people, whether it works, whether it makes a difference. And I make no bones about this. Some of the things I tried didn't work as well. And I would move on to something else because all that counts is the outcome. The really important thing was the outcome, that at the end of these courses, they had really moved psychologically to a new place in the way you just described, the changes that you went through.
We want everyone to understand that this was an evolution over 40 years and working with thousands of people to help the work evolve. In the state that the work is now, today, what would you consider to be the primary outcomes of the inner growth work?
The primary outcome of the inner growth work is twofold. On the one hand, it's to remove all the barriers to having the life that you want to have. All the belief systems, which are emotionally based belief systems. Now, that's very important, that part of it. The belief systems are based on emotions that, you know, from the past. To remove or to free people from all of those emotionally based belief systems that are currently limiting their life in some way. So it could be limiting their life with relationships, limiting their life professionally, limiting their life socially, limiting their life just in how they feel about themselves and how happy they are. So it's to clear all of that stuff out of the subconscious mind and make people truly free. And the really most important meaning of the word freedom is that internal freedom, where you really now have choice in your life because you've cleared away all the barriers to that choice. So that's one of the outcomes. The second outcome is related to it, but it goes beyond it. And that is that there's a series of natural growth stages that people grow through that initially just a handful of psychologists, Dr. Claire Graves started this work back in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. Dr. Abraham Maslow studied this stuff. Dr. Robert Kagan, Dr. Suzanne Cook-Reuter, a number of these psychologists began to look at adult growth in the same way that developmental psychologists previously had looked at the cognitive and emotional development of children and adolescents. So, for example, the great psychologist Piaget was the first one to really study how the cognitive development of children changes. So when children are 4 and 5 years old, they do magical thinking. And when they're 4 or 5, we love that in children, that they do magical thinking. And that means they mix up cause and effect and all kinds of things can happen that are impossible and so forth. But interestingly, that part of the brain that does that is also the part of the brain that later in life does greater things, okay? Then as you pass to around 6 or 7 years old, you start doing what we call concrete operational thinking. You now really want to know how things work. What is the cause? What is the effect? Very concrete, not abstract now, but really concrete. And that's the primary thinking pattern until children are about 11 or 12. It's a little different with different children, but they gradually then merge into another type of thinking that we call conceptual or abstract thinking. And that's where you can think in generalizations. That's where you can think about big problems in very systematic ways and so forth. You're no longer tied down to just concrete operational thinking. You still have access to them if you need them. And when you're an adult, having access to what we call childhood magical thinking, that's creative thinking when we're adults. That's, you know, what we think outside the boundaries of what we normally know. So when the psychologists began to study this, it was based on the fact that they could see there were so many different psychologies out in the world. Freudian psychology, Eric Fromm psychology, all these personality theorists that come up with all these psychologies. And Claire Graves was the first one to ask the question, where did all these things come from? He finally decided it depended on the level of development that a person was at as to what kind of psychology they would create. And so he and others then really started putting together this as a conceptual structure and then testing it against reality. I stand on the shoulders of giants in this. I could never have done this if I hadn't read these people. Now, I want to be really clear about that. Even though the particular model that we use is my invention, I created that, again, out of the most pragmatic considerations. What will be the most useful in helping people to understand these stages that we go through? there's about 200 psychologists now that are doing this kind of work, and they all have slightly different models, but there's huge overlap in those models, which is good. It means they're talking about something that's real. The second major purpose of this inner growth work is to help people go up that developmental ladder. And we divide it into three major stages that people go through, okay? It can be subdivided, and a number of psychologists have, Ken Wilber has more of these higher developmental levels. But I stopped with what I thought was most pragmatic, because beyond the third level that we're talking about, there'd be less than 0.00001% of people in the world that are there, and therefore it wouldn't be of a lot of use to present that way. Those are the two reasons: to clear out all the barriers to having full choice on the life that you want, okay? And that means the belief systems that are based on emotions are all cleared away that are self-limiting. And secondly, to really facilitate people's growth up those natural adult developmental levels. And the higher they are on those levels, the more of themselves they can express, the more of their potential can come out. As you grow up those adult developmental levels, more and more of your potential is released. So this is called showing up in the world. You show up much more effectively.
That's a great response. And all of these things are really important outcomes. But okay, so I'm just going to skip to the next thing that I'll cut this part. But awesome, Walter. Can you walk us through high level a little bit more about the sequence of the work?
So the first thing that's necessary when you begin to work with an individual or a group of individuals that each person in the group needs to know is they need to have some insight into the patterns that currently are limiting their life in some way. And that means basically identifying the symptoms that are showing up in their life that are unwanted. Most people have certain parts of their life that are working quite well, but the parts that aren't working well often have to do with relationships, but they can do many other things, like they don't have the confidence to do something that they really want to do, start their own business or something like that. We have to know what those are. So that's really important to be clear about that, to objectify that, where people can say, ah, that's the pattern that's me now. Every time this happens, I wind up doing this. And that doesn't work very well. It doesn't get me the results that I want. But I can't seem to stop. Every time a certain thing happens in my environment, my boss talks to me, my wife says something to me, my husband says something to me or whatever, then I go into this reaction and I don't really know how to stop that, even though I know it's not working very well for me. So first thing is to help people identify this. Incidentally, as I talk this through, I don't mean to indicate this always happens in a purely linear fashion. Often these things overlap a lot, okay? But that's the first thing that, structurally speaking, that you need to be aware of. Now, the second thing that you need to be aware of is, where did this stuff come from? Okay? What's the underlying cause, the deep cause, the true cause that's making you think, respond emotionally, and behave in ways that are self-limiting, okay? And the deep causes are generally buried in your subconscious mind, but they're not repressed in a way where you can't access them. With the right tools, and that's what we develop these tools for, is to help you access those belief systems which you're operating out of, but not even consciously aware that you're operating out of them. And all of those belief systems are based on emotional experiences, on uncomfortable experiences that you had sometime in the past, childhood, adolescence, or sometimes even later than that. So that's the second stage, is to help people understand the cause for the symptoms that we talked about at the first stage. The third stage of this is what we call the healing stage. And the healing stage, I'm going to use a metaphor here, psychological approaches call this working on yourself. It's like you're building something new. It's like you're creating something new. But you're not when you're doing the work that we do. What you're doing is you're actually peeling back layers of belief systems, like an onion, like layer after layer. And as you peel back those layers, eventually you get to your essence. You get to your true self. Now, this true self is your birthright as a human being. And this true self is whole and perfect and complete just as it is. The ultimate healing is only removing all these barriers, all these levels of belief systems and emotionally based belief systems that have been operating largely subconsciously in your life. It's really important for people to know that they always have been perfect. They always have been whole. Okay. But it was hidden underneath layers of the onion. When they get to the core of the onion, okay, then they know that's me. I'm whole, my essence, my true being. Now, I sometimes refer to this as the being self, and you actually refer to this as your inner essence. They're both good terms, okay? But the reason I prefer to it as a being self is everything else that defines us are things that we do, belief systems and patterns of thinking, belief systems and emotional reactions, belief systems and things that we do in our life and so forth. It's all doing. But this part of you is stable and solid. It just is. It's already there and it's already perfect. Okay. And we're just simply revealing that. And all of the very specific major outcomes in those developmental levels we talked about are due to contact with that inner essence. You've described, in some of your writing, you've described it as our inner home, because it's like coming truly home. It is our home. It is truly who we are, okay, our essence.
Excellent. And I just want to, as somebody who's still a student with Walter, talk about the experience of going through this.
The third step I mentioned was the healing step and rediscovering your essence. Now, the fourth step is really important. It's exploring the new possibilities that are suddenly there in your life when all this junk has cleared away and you're starting to move up those adult developmental levels. All kinds of things that you wouldn't have thought possible for you in the past are now in the realm of possibility. So it's helping people explore in very practical, very pragmatic ways what some of those possibilities might be for them, and then to get them on the road of starting to realize some of those possibilities as early as possible once they started this process of going through the first three stages that we talked about, identifying the patterns, identifying the deep causes of these patterns, and then the healing process where you get back in touch with your essence, then suddenly there are so many more things possible for you. Okay.
Yeah. I was just thinking about what the experience feels like to go through this process. A lot of people come into your work maybe having some idea that there are issues, and some people not being sure what the issues are. Like, I knew that I had some problems. I didn't know why I had them or what to do about them. And I also discovered a lot in the beginning of the program about things I wasn't even aware of that hold me back, like from my true potential. In my case, to be in a relationship steadily or helpfully, or to start my own business, things like that. In the second stage where we're uncovering where this stuff came from, it's like a big aha. Like, that's why I am the way I am.
Yep.
Then during the healing stage, which is a longer stage, it feels a lot more, okay, you feel more inner peace, less anxiety, less triggered by things. And then
natural well-being, a calm well-being becomes at the center of your life.
And then in the fourth stage where you're exploring new possibilities, when all this stuff is cleared away, when there aren't all these things telling you, you can't do that, and you're not, that's not the type of person you are, and they're better than you, and you feel like, yes, like I can go into the world and do all kinds of things. I was just thinking about what it feels like to go through the stages. So thank you for that. One thing that I thought was really important, I know that this work can be done in both a group setting and a one-on-one setting.
Yep.
I went through it in a group setting and found, because I had never done things like this in a group setting, I was surprised at how cathartic it could be in a group. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on what are the benefits to doing something like this within a group.
You just raised something that is really important. And I omitted something that was very important when I was talking about the evolution of what I do. When I was working for that second Indian guru, my wife and I were in the United States in 1978. We took a course by Werner that was developed by Werner Erhard. He wasn't the one leading it, but it was called the EST training. Nowadays, it's called the Landmark Forum. It was the first time I had ever been on a program with a whole group of people that was truly transformative, and they weren't meditating. There was no meditation as part of it. And that gave me the idea, what if you had something with a group like this where you, the stuff that I had already learned to do with coaching, but we could work it on so we could do it in a group and then combine that with meditation. I thought that would be the most powerful thing I could think of. Werner Erhard was truly a genius, and he made a major contribution to personal growth work. And even though I don't use his work in any way directly, he inspired me at a certain point to do that, or his work inspired me. Now, what was the next question then that you asked? Yes.
What's beneficial about the group?
Okay. With a group setting, the problems that we have or created always were created in relationships with people or events in our life. But when they occurred, they were painful for almost all of us. The way we dealt with it is by holding it inside and not letting other people know that it affected us the way that it did. So, for example, one of the problems I emerged in adulthood was that this constant searching for the woman, that when I found her, that she would love me completely and infinitely and all that, then I was going to feel whole myself. It was an illusion. I was just chasing after. And that all happened. And that I would never admit to anyone that I felt that way. That was hidden all the time. I would project an image of myself as confident in relationships, no problems, no issues like that. But in fact, I was this little yearning boy that just wanted a woman to love me in the way that, say, a mother would love a child. What we found is that when you are doing this work with a number of other people, each of you trusting that one of the things that's fundamental to our courses, where we have groups of people, is building trust very early. So all of the people in our teacher training programs and our coaching programs, our number one thing is to build trust with people so they'll be open and vulnerable. The healing process is accelerated. It happens faster and more effectively than if you're only doing one-on-one programs. In terms of efficiency and power and effectiveness, it's really good to do it in a group setting. By the end of the setting, these other people have become like family because such intimate things about each other. And that means you lose that fear of exposing yourself. All of us came into our adult life with all kinds of stuff that was limiting us, all kinds of stuff that we call our shit. We came with oodles of it, okay? And when everyone can talk about that openly and not hide it, it creates the perfect atmosphere for healing. Now, it's like you're just relaxing into the arms of the group that you're with. So that's a really important part of our programs. We encourage people to do the group settings ones, even though you'll also get some one-on-one coaching while you're doing that.
And the one-on-one sessions within the group programs are also I had some of the biggest breakthroughs in my one-on-one sessions.
Yep.
Aside from the group. But I also found that in the group, my challenges, which I felt were very unique to me, I realized were not that unique. So I realized that a lot of people had been through similar things to me. And I think you're exactly right that the healing process was expedited. There was something about coming clean to myself, right, and feeling okay about it, about expressing it to a group of people, that really allowed me to get past it.
This is a really important part of the teaching, because what we want people to realize is who you are is much bigger. When you interact with others like that, you become more of who you are. Other people, their energy mixing with yours has a synergistic effect. It really helps you in that growing process.
Exactly. And last question on inner growth work. What's your mission in having created this work? What do you hope to see it do in the world?
Look, the immediate mission, I call what I have an immediate mission and a long-term mission. The immediate mission is obviously to reach as many people and individual people and families, for example, and let's say organizations, to help them go through that transformative process that we've described in this whole session. That's the immediate mission. But the longer term mission is to recreate our society. We got two wars going on right now. We're going through a time when there's a lot of autocrats all over the world who are using people's fears as a way of taking power and running things in their interest, not in the interests of the people. I want people to become so free within themselves that they lose that fear and they can see people for who they are. They can recognize people who are authentic. And if they're voting for them, for example, they'll vote for someone that really stands for what they, and really their behavior is consistent with what they want. But this means changing whole institutions. For example, the educational institutions in Finland are a perfect example of highly evolved educational institutions where people don't spend long hours sitting at desks. They're out in the center of the room. The teacher is out there with them, and they learn through playing earlier and then through just experimenting later on. And the Finns have really experimented with that, and it worked incredibly well. They take no competitive tests whatsoever, none, all the way through universities. But every year they take a test that compares how they're doing with the rest of the world. And they're in every area, they're always in the top 10, okay? And often in the top 3 or 4, even though they spend far less time in the classroom. And part of their time that they spend is they have a specific times for unstructured, unsupervised play. And that they learn through that really well. Our educational system needs to be transformed in various ways, our economic system in various ways. There's no reason for there to be any poverty on the face of this earth. We have enough wealth on this earth for everyone to have at least a middle class kind of income and so forth. So there's big institutional changes and cultural changes where racism disappears, where all the things that separates us disappears, where women and men are absolutely equal in the world. Those are the social changes I want to see, but they have to come out of doing deep work on yourself. But I myself hadn't done any work on myself. And here I was out there trying to transform these big social institutions, but coming from a place that was completely untransformed myself. So what's really important is that millions of people have this experience, not only from our organization, from many others that are doing similar work, if we're to end those large scale social and institutional changes, which are my really long-term goal, the things that I care about ultimately, okay?
Well, I just want to say thank you so much. I think that the work, the form of meditation combined with the inner growth practices that you've developed over the last 40 years plus has had a massive shift in my life and others in the program that I'm studying with. And I think that, yeah, I think that you're well on your way to the mission statements that you just gave. So thank you so much, Walter.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And don't misunderstand, I'm including this, that many other groups, not just our group, have to be busy doing this for that to occur. We're not megalomaniacs. We don't believe we can do this on our own, but we have to make our contribution because that signals to others, you can do this too. You can make this contribution too. Okay.
Thank you, Walter.
Thank you.